It's Rokoncho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. And sitting in our broadcast perch here at the Republican National Convention, a man who is not a Republican nor a national nor a convention. Oh, he's kind of national. David Axelrod is with us. And he runs a fairly important institution at the University of Chicago now for the study of politics. But beyond that, you might recall him from his many different roles in the Obama campaign and administration. And you have been to a lot of conventions.
Yeah.
That was wacky what we just saw on the floor, wasn't it?
It was. Well, it's wacky in the sense that we're not accustomed to these kinds of things happening at conventions anymore. Conventions used to be lively like this,
right?
Often going for many ballots in. But in the modern era, they're generally really well orchestrated, and you don't see a lot of action like this. So it's probably not the way that Donald Trump and his team wanted to start this convention, nor Reince Priebus. And obviously, they were taken a little bit by surprise.
Do you think it matters, since it happened so early in this? And now they've basically, for those who are just joining us, the anti-Trump, the Never Trump movement, tried to call for a state-by-state
They ballot. Wanted a roll call vote.
Roll call vote.
On the rules of the convention, because they wanted a vote on, they wanted a provision that would allow delegates to vote for whomever they chose rather than the people they were bound to,
right,
which would have opened up the convention. It's a meaningful issue. They don't apparently have the numbers to force that to happen. From the Trump perspective, the problem is not that it jeopardizes him in any way. More, the problem is that you don't want this to be the story coming out of the first day of your convention, about a divided party, about walkouts. You want the story to be about Melania Trump and the story you're trying to tell, particularly in primetime.
Right.
So, it's not a welcome development for him.
Now, sorry.
Go ahead, Anna.
David, I'm back in Chicago for a few days. I just wanted to ask you, knowing what you know about the rules, do the Never Trump people now have nowhere to go in terms of a challenge other than just being, you know,
disgruntled,
vocal, and protesting?
I mean, yeah, I don't think they have anywhere to go. I see Mike Lee on the screen doing an interview. They're going to be a persistent presence at this convention, and so this, as I said, this is exactly what that the Trump folks were hoping to avoid. I ran into Paul Manafort yesterday, who now is running the Trump campaign, and he seemed sanguine that they had put down this rebellion, and I'm sure he's not happy about the events this afternoon.
Well, there was also talk that Ted Cruz people were going to try to force his name into nomination. And when that got shot down, the Cruz delegates would walk out. We've already had one walkout today from the Colorado delegation,
which is where this Never Trump movement is emanating.
In Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah. And Utah, too, right?
Well, I think that region, yeah. Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, who's very close to Ted Cruz, was involved in this rules skirmish on the floor. Is doing interviews on the floor right now. So, I kind of think this is where it's where it ends. I don't think there is recourse for them now.
Well, other than, as you're pointing out, other than this disruption,
a note of discordance that could run through the week.
You think Scott Baio can actually solve this problem? You think when he gets up there, he's going to be able to bring everybody together?
Well, it's interesting. I saw a Google search list, and he was one of the people he was one of the most searched names on the list of speakers, along with...
Right, or whatever happened to crowd.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, there was interest in him in Melania and so on.
Sure. Rick Perry's going to be there tonight. Also, Willie Robertson from one of the Duck Dynasty guys, long beards.
Yes.
Marcus Luttrell, who is a very impressive guy, the lone survivor. The United States Marine is a lone survivor. A Navy SEAL, I should say. But you do have, now, in terms of heavyweights, you have Rudy Giuliani tonight.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what is Rudy Giuliani, do you think, David Axelrod going to do?
Well, I think that what they probably intended when they put him in that slot was for him to talk about his friend Donald Trump, who he knows from New York, mm-hmm. and extol the virtues of Donald Trump, and I'm sure he'll do some of that. It'll be interesting to see how the events of the last few days, the police shootings in Baton Rouge and Dallas, impact on his message. You know, Donald Trump has taken the last few days to call himself the law and order candidate and the law and order party. Well, certainly Rudy Giuliani is a guy who would cheerfully and willingly amplify on that theme, and I expect we could see some of that tonight.
David, what about Melania Trump? All eyes will be on her tonight. You can bet the primetime coverage will be focused on her. It's the first time I can recall a supermodel is sort of a headliner at one of these political presidential political conventions.
Yeah, well, you know, everything else is so conventional here that really stands out.
I know it. And I guess I'm wondering, do you think ultimately she really helps Trump? Will she give a great speech tonight? Can she humanize him or help in what way would she?
Well, I read that she has been preparing for this speech for 5 or 6 weeks. And I think it's really, really an important speech because if you have a successful convention, one of the things you should hope to achieve is to flesh out the nominee and give people a richer portrait of who they are in a positive way. Donald Trump has a very hard-edged image out there, mm-hmm. and to present him as a family man, as a husband, to give people a richer sense of the values that animate him and so on, that would be very, very important to her, as it was, frankly, to hear from Michelle Obama when she told Barack Obama's story in 2008, and she was valuable again in 2012.
But let me ask you about this, though. I mean, the whole family's coming out.
Yes.
Right? He's got the
all four of his adult children speaking, yes.
The youngest being, I think, 23 years old, 22, 23, something like that. What I don't understand is why they're all coming out. I mentioned this earlier.
Apparently they support him.
Well, they're among the four, yeah. last night I was at a watering hole here, you know, and you'd saddle up to the bar.
Working hard,
yes. Listen to the delegates, yes. Talking about stuff and Republicans. And these were pretty conservative folks who referred to the kids as Uday and Kusay.
Yes.
A reference to Saddam Hussein's kids, right?
Yes.
And I thought, you know, you wonder if it's too much of the kids. Shouldn't this be more about policy or what he's going to do,
no,
or at least brand identity?
Well, I think there should be some of that. But I really think what he desperately needs is for people to get, you know, you look at the people who aren't voting for him, the gender gap that he faces, problem with college-educated women, Republican women, the notion that he is a good father is, I think, something that they need to hear. There's a coarseness to Trump that is very evident.
And the kid who killed an elephant is going to solve that for him?
Well, I don't think he's going to do that tonight or during this week.
You think that's probably a bad thing to do? Doing one of those things.
Oh, I see you brought your sound effect machine.
I did. Just, you know, yeah. Just for you.
Well, hopefully that was
one hopes the elephant he doesn't kill is the Republican Party. But no, I think that they can. I think that they can do a lot for. I would feature the kids. I think it's smart. They've spread them out, mm-hmm. so there's
every
one
night,
speaking
yeah.
every night. So I don't think it's overdone. And I think Ivanka Trump is introducing Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a chance to. I was at a dinner at which she was seated next to me. Really an impressive woman, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's going to help him to have her make that introduction. It will soften him. It will give him more depth. You know, whether it solves all of his problems is another question, but I think it's something that they should do.
What about her speaking about immigration? And she hasn't spoken out too much, but she's given a few interviews, and she has talked about how she took a legal path to immigration,
yes.
and that sets the tone, that he's not anti-immigration. You guys are reading him wrong. Is that going to be part of her speech tonight?
You know, I'm sure it is, but you know, it's an interesting challenge because there is a nativist element to the Trump support, and so stressing the fact that she is from somewhere else, I think is a sort of a mixed bag. But there's no doubt that yes, she can talk about the fact that she was the beneficiary of the legal immigration system, and that's how it should be done. And I expect that will be part of her speech.
All right, David Axelrod. You can see him tonight on CNN as one of the analysts. And how's the book doing?
Very well. People are still buying it, still reading it.
Believer.
Yes, my 40 years in politics. So if you guys, folks listening, want to pass some time this summer, it's still available, paperback and hardcover.
Yeah, it is. It is one of the most interesting books about 20th century politics and 21st century politics that is available to read. It gives you a real sense, even if you're in, I mean, I know there's a lot of people who don't agree with you politically, but you're going to learn a lot from that book.
I hope what people take away from it is that I think there's nobility in this process. Sometimes it gets lost.
Oh, just saw it on display a few minutes ago.
Well, you know what? I think there's nobility in those kinds of floor fights, actually, because people believe deeply and they're fighting for what they believe deeply in.
I think, this is what it really should be about. That's what people have been complaining about these for years, that they are too scripted, that they are too choreographed, and that there isn't any real thing. And this is an era, I mean, you're going to see this in Philadelphia, too, I believe, that, you know, when we're there next week, that you know, there are people who truly are disappointed with the system as it exists on both sides.
Yes.
And they want their voices to be heard, and they do not believe that what they are, that these guys who are, you know, with the nice haircuts and the red ties are actually representing them. They're representing their interests.
What's interesting is that when he nominated Mike Pence, the thought was this might mollify the core conservatives who were really protesting his candidacy. It obviously wasn't enough to mollify them to the point where they would not launch this protest.
Today.
So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
David, thank you very much.
Great to be with you.
Appreciate it. All right, right now.
Bye, Anna.
Bye, David.